Tim Robbins is best known for his winning portrayal of the dim-witted pitcher Nuke LaLoosh in the comedy Bull Durham. The more serious Tim Robbins has his roots in theater, particularly in experimental theater in Los Angeles, where he's been writing, directing, and producing since 1981. In the new film Cadillac Man, Robbins again plays a guy who's not quite with it. Robin Williams stars as a fast-talking Cadillac salesman. Tim Robbins plays Larry, the crazed husband of the showroom's pretty young secretary. Larry thinks one of the salesmen is having an affair with his wife. In a jealous rage, he decides to take everyone hostage. In this scene, Williams is talking to the police on the phone while Robbins is holding a gun to his head.
He wants to know what you want, Larry.
What?
He wants to know what you want.
I told him already. I want him to go away.
He wants you to go away.
Yeah, that's very funny. What does he want?
He says it's not on the program, Larry.
Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
He's a little up in the air right now. Can you give him a few minutes?
Who was cast first in Cadillac Man, you or Robin Williams?
Robin.
And was he one of the reasons that you wanted to sign? I mean, was he used to convince you to sign up?
Well, absolutely. I really was at once frightened and incredibly excited about working with him. Frightened for the obvious reasons of you know, being in the situation where you're being trounced on by another actor, and excited by the challenge of working with such an incredible mind and insane talent. And all my fears were pretty much unfounded, because he's a very generous actor and doesn't trounce at all, and in fact takes you along with him.
How much improvisation was there from take to take?
Well, we would do about 5 or 6 takes of the script, and then once we had gotten that, start to go off into tangents, oftentimes going off into some strange orbit in some strange galaxy. It's great to work with Robin because anything can come out, and you have to just expect it and fly with it. And I learned a great deal from him about trusting your mind to go where it wants to go.
Can you give a sense of how a moment or a scene changed from the script and evolved into, you know, something interestingly different?
There's a scene by the door where, well, I have the gun to his head most of the time, or his back at least, and I'm trying to tell the police to go away, and they're asking me what my name is, and I don't want to give them my real name. And that whole section is pretty much improvised.
This scene that you're talking about, when the actor, when your character doesn't want to give his real name, Robin Williams starts suggesting names, and the character starts suggesting names, and there's this big back and forth kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a, he says, I say Chip, he says that sounds like a squirrel, and then he says Charlie, and I say that sounds like a Chinese communist, and on and on and on. It's much funnier when you see. It's very hard to describe funny moments.
You know, I have to tell you, I've seen the coming attractions for Cadillac Man on TV, and from the coming attractions, I assumed I probably wouldn't like it. And I went to see the movie last night, and I thought it was really very funny, very entertaining. Do you ever get bugged by the way films are sold?
Oh boy. Oh no, not at all. I think they do wonderful jobs all the time, Terry. What might make you ask something like that? I think that marketing is just a absolutely unfathomable concept for me, so I try not to get involved with it.
Right. Let me ask you some things about your background. You grew up in Greenwich Village. Your father was a folk singer.
Uh-huh.
Did you like his music? What kind of music did he play?
He was in a group called the Highwaymen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what were their hits?
Michael Row Your Boat Ashore.
Oh, yeah.
And Cotton Fields.
Oh, no.
Oh, when them cotton fields, the balls get rotten. Yeah, it was fun. I remember that was probably the first time I ever understood what the dynamic between performer and audience could be. And, you know, I saw some pretty special things happen. You know, it might sound corny now in our jaded sensibilities of the 90s, but, you know, it was really great to see a performer lead an audience in song.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of inspiring, you know. It was taking people that had nothing to do with each other or didn't know each other and uniting them in some kind of poetry. That was kind of special.
Did you sing along?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So were you often backstage or were you in the audience?
I was in the audience. I remember, I guess my dad brought me up on stage when I was about six for the first time. And I sang The Ink is Black, The Page is White. A place called the Cafe Lena in Saratoga, New York.
Did you ever think that you'd become a singer?
No. Maybe for a few months when I was six, right after the Cafe Lena.
Right. You organized a theater group called The Gang?
The Actors Gang.
The Actors Gang?
Yes.
Is the group still together? Or
you can call
them
The Gang, though, because we do. You know, it's kind of the shorthand for it.
Is the group still together, and do you still work with them?
Yes. Last year we toured as the American representative for the Edinburgh International Festival with a play called Carnage. And after Edinburgh, we went to New York at the Public Theater. And recently they've been working without me on a show called The Lower Depths by Maxim Gorky. Do you know it?
No, I don't.
It's a rollicking comedy. No, not at all. It's it's actually very poignant for today. It was written around 1900, and has a lot to do with the homeless situation and the tragedy of that. It's set in kind of a flop house in Russia in 1900.
One of the ways that you funded the Actors Gang early on in your career is with the money you made working in television and B-movies. What are some of the B-movies that we might have missed that you were in?
B stands for before. B stands for, I don't know. Let's see. I can't even remember them. It's funny you should mention them. No. It's funny, you know. Writers can screw up, directors can screw up, do movies that are terrible and be forgotten. But the actors, there's this new invention called cable TV that keeps these nightmares coming right back at you.
Oh.
So, all you have to do is look in a cable guide and you'll be able to find these and the titles of those films.
But you'd rather not help us find them.
Nah, why? Why publicize a bad film?
On the other hand, are there movies that you've made that you really would like people to see that weren't in distribution theatrically very long that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I think Five Corners is a very interesting, eccentric movie. I'm proud of my work in that.
And for people who've only seen you in either Bull Durham or Bull Durham and Cadillac Man, it'll show a really different side of you as an actor.
Yeah, it's
want to describe the character?
Well, yeah, he has a brain. He's a very committed this is a man that grew up in the Bronx and grew up in a very physical way in his neighborhood, the neighborhood bully until a certain point in his life. And something about his father's death and the words of Martin Luther King started to ring true to him, and he started to take action in his own life to study pacifism as a means to change. And in the movie, he's about to go down to Mississippi to register people for the vote. It's set in 1964.
It's a good performance.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there an actor you most admire? You know, whose kind of career you'd most like to have?
You know, I was like, you know, like 3 weeks ago, I thought of that question, and I had a perfect answer for it. Now I can't remember. There's a lot of actors I admire, but you know, I guess I really want to be Bertolt Brecht. I mean, he wasn't an actor, but you know. He was such a great writer, and
you'd like to have that impact on theater of kind of rethinking what theater is, what impact it should have on the audience,
and also to be able to create theater that is not only entertaining but is about ideas and raises important questions about the time we're living in.
I guess there's an obvious irony here that in your new film you're playing the screwball, and in real life you want to like rethink the meaning of theater.
Yeah, I guess that is pretty ironic, but one hand feeds the other, as I say. You know, it's like I wouldn't be able to do the theater without the movies. I wouldn't be able to produce the Actors Gang, certainly, without the income that the movies generate. You know, I have fun doing both.
Thanks a lot for talking with
fun.
Us. Yeah.
I have fun. I have lots of fun.
Tim Robbins co-stars in the new comedy Cadillac Man. This is Fresh Air.